Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we're going to go to the mailbag and have four or five different emails, a sundry of choices here to come to work with. One of the things, though, that I find is that when putting these things together, if you can put the questions in the right order, they kind of stack up on each other and build up. Today is a little different, though, because it's kind of a strange situation about age. Age seems to be the focal point today, and I'm just going to dive in and see what we can come up with. We'll work through this together. Sometimes that's the only way to do it. So the first email I get here is from the lady. She says, I've been following your show for quite some time. I had a job working for 50-plus hours per week, so I really did not pursue investing in real estate. So there's the first thing. When you're working 50, 60 hours a week, where do you get the time? When I first started investing in real estate, I was, 2.5 years younger than 34 years of age when I retired, so whatever that was. I was working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Sometimes five days a week. If we hit our quota in sales within 5 days and we get the sixth day off, ridiculous concept. Even 12 hours a day times 5 days a week is, almost 60 hours. So she was working 60 hours. I was sometimes working 68, but we worked only 8 hours on Saturday. So how did I get out of it? Well, I went and decided and looked at many, many different options and opportunities to get out of working those hours. And I came across real estate investing. And I found out that you could do this stuff with a relatively small amount of invested time. Now, I started with single family. Some people nowadays are starting with passive investments, where they go into deals with other people. We'll discuss those a little bit later, though. I'm just sticking with the single family right now because that's what retired me. And I came up with this concept called dollar hours. And I figured out, okay, if you look at what I made, and let's just get out the trusty phone calculator again because I think this is important. I was making $70,000 a year, but I was taking home like $3,500 a month. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, you take $70,000, you take the taxes off, the insurance off, 401k contribution off, and I was taking home about $3,500 a month. So I was working 68 hours a month, or a week, I'm sorry, 68 hours a week, 68 hours a week times 4 weeks, 272 hours to earn $3,500. So let's take $3,500 divided by $270 hours. I was making about $12-13 an hour. All right, say, well, that's not bad. Well, it's not that good, but it was okay. I survived on it. I was a young kid in my 20s. So when I got out there and I bought a rental house and you add up, okay, I had to go look at a house. That was a couple hours. Sign the paperwork and everything. I had to go to closing. That was a couple hours. So now we're into 4 hours into it. I had to rent it. That was a couple hours. Now we're 6 hours into it. And then I had to, I'm trying to think what else I had to do. Really didn't have to do much. Sometimes you have to renovate them, and that might take a couple hours. So let's say 8 hours. And you say, well, why 2 hours? Because I'm not renovating the house. Somebody else is doing the renovation. I'm just going over there, check, make sure they did it. And pay the man. So now I've got 8 hours in this thing, and I look at this and I go, okay, let's go back to the trusty phone calculator. And we go, we're now making, $200 a month positive cash flow is all I was making. I'm making $220, so $220 a month cash flow divided by 8 hours, and I'm making $27 an hour. I go, wow. Now, after the first month, I didn't have to do all that stuff anymore. Now I just had to take the check, collect the rent, and put the rent check in the mail. Total 30 minutes, an hour. Every once in a while, I'd get a call from a tenant, something needed to be fixed. Hey, my air conditioner isn't working right. I'd call an AC guy, and AC guy would go over and fix it, right? I don't go fix it, and I don't meet him there. It's not my job. The tenant wants an air conditioner repair, they set up a time that they can meet them and get it repaired. All I do is pay for it if it's something I'm responsible for, right? So now you're talking about, say, 2 hours a month I put into running all these houses. And I'm making, you know, let's say at some point I retired, I was had 11 houses to start with. My first year, 11 houses times 220 a house is, let's see, 220 times 11, $2,400 a month. And I was putting in about 2 hours. So you take that divided by 2 hours and you've got $1,210 an hour. And then it kind of just hit me. Boom. That's it, right? So this lady goes on and says, I've retired from my job, of course, do not have enough income as far as I am concerned. All right, so now she's retired. She goes on and says, I'm 66 years old. Do you think I'm too old for this? And then she says, I do not think that, exclamation point. However, my savings is limited. Can you please give me any words of wisdom? Well, I didn't get from her what her savings were, and I have gone back and asked her that. But I did ask her, are you planning on working anymore? And she said, I will be working part-time. My health is great. I've been working 50 hours a week, and I'm done with that. And so it brings up a bunch of questions. And if you go back to consult somebody like this, and I'm telling you what I have to think to consult this lady so that you can consult yourself, right? Maybe you'll hear bits and pieces of it that make sense. But the first argument is that of the Hippocratic Oath, which is do no harm. First, do no harm. So if this lady doesn't have any money and we take money out of her non-money situation and put her in a zero cash position in life, that's a very unhealthy, unsafe position to be in. So I would not want to take a consultee and put them in a zero cash situation. So I have to find out how much money she has. Secondly, if she was going to go back to work, she at least has enough money to live off of. And that's a requirement, because if you can't go put together enough income, like if you could go buy a rent house right now and you can put down anywhere from 10 to 25, 30,000 is the numbers we kind of quote people, because we see that happening every day. If you're going to give up your last $10,000 to buy a house and you're only going to come away with $200 or $300 cash flow, you can't survive on $200 or $300. You've got to live on the $10,000. Now, that isn't sustainable. We know that. And really, when you look at it, you're going to try to tie in, well, do I get Social Security with that? Maybe with Social Security and the cash flow I can produce, I can survive. But the bottom line is, what you have to do, in truth, is you have to figure out how to survive. Now, many people believe that what you do is you save up a pile of money and you live off the pile and you hope you die before you run out of money, right? And you hope you die before you run out of money. And if you only have a little bit of money, that lasts very long. So now here's the dilemma, chicken or the egg, which one's worse? If you have a little bit of money and you invest and make a little income, you now have reoccurring income coming in. But if you don't have enough money to survive, that plus Social Security or whatever else you're going to live with, then you're still going to run out of money. And so the running out of money is less apparent if you have more money and not as many investments. So you see, there's this cutoff line. So let's start with this basic question, and that is, what is too old? And my answer to that, you're not going to like, is, what's the alternative, right? You don't really have anything to say about where you're at financially by the time you get to be 66 years old, unless, okay, I'm going to make some moves. She says she's in perfect health. She has plenty of energy. She's going to go back to work part-time. She just quit. And I think, yeah, I think she should start investing, because she can make a lot more money investing in real estate than she can in other types of investments she could put her money in. But not if it uses up all of her money and she's going to go broke tomorrow. That just won't work. The fact that she has a job part-time, she's going to go back to work part-time, gives me great feeling that, okay, she's got a base income to live on, and then she'll start building her investments, and I think that's going to work out for her pretty well. We go on to the next gentleman that's got an age consideration. It says, hey, I've been listening to you for about a year daily. I have learned so much about what I've done wrong believing in the 401k. I'm 51 years old now and looking to get out of the rat race. I'm looking into every avenue to get my cash out of the 401k and the two pensions. Luckily, I have worked for two major oil companies. My question is, I own some property that's unrestricted and would like to build a 12-unit apartment / duplex, which I don't know what that means. I'm going to assume he wants to build a 12-unit apartment. Am I better to sell the land and buy something existing, and I've never heard anything from you, pros and cons on building it, for, you know, as opposed to buying. The answer to this is, hey, you don't have time to build an apartment complex. It just doesn't make sense. It won't make any money for a year or two or three. It's very costly. You end up paying full price for something because you're buying it in today's dollars with today's construction costs, today's material costs, and so you're getting slammed. It'd be very hard to make that property make a lot of money in any way, shape, or form. Brand new Class A apartments a la something just built are probably the lowest rate of return investments we can make. You have to buy them and steal them to make money with them, and they're not going to do that when it's brand new, and yours is going to be in the same position. You're going to be so deep into this with the money you have to invest to build it, and the time where your time-money ratio goes upside down and backwards. In other words, you have whatever it costs to build this involved in 2 to 3 years to turn it around. You don't just plop an apartment complex on the ground. You have to go get permits and et cetera, et cetera. But then you have another consideration. You already own the piece of land. Well, where is the land? Is that the appropriate place for an apartment complex even? That's another consideration. So when we go out and buy a house, this is a typical scenario, and some variance to this to the apartment industry business also, depending on size and what type we're trying to buy. We're buying it below what it's really worth. Otherwise, there's really no need to buy it. Why buy something for what it's worth? You can go buy Microsoft stock. If it's for sale for $100, you pay $100. But if you go buy an apartment or a house, and that house is worth $200,000, we might buy it for $100,000. If it's worth $300,000, we might buy it for $200,000. And of course, we put some renovations in it, but we're still buying it. On average, right now, we're making about $50,000 per house we buy of the deals I've seen, I've witnessed. Okay, my guys are out there teaching the course or telling people they're putting down anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 per house, and they're making at least $30,000 captured equity, instant gain. Now, on $30,000 invested, that's 100% return. On $15,000 invested, that's 200% return. You're not going to get that by building a complex. Now, in addition to that, what happens if everything goes upside down and silly? You now have the most expensive real estate in the area, which is going to go down in value. You may not get the construction completed before there's a recession, in which case there may be no materials available. You may not be able to finish the project. You may be stuck upside down. So there's so much massive risk in building compared to what we do that I don't recommend it for anybody. And if you've got the opportunity, let's just go buy you an apartment complex. Let's buy you a 12 unit. Let's buy it below what it's worth. Right. And then let's make it worth what it should be worth and go out there and make large sum of money. Construction is not what we do, guys. Let's go on here. It said, just got a call from radio listener. He wanted to speak to Dell on the radio, asked me to pass on the message. His message is not going unheard. That's me. My message is not going unheard, and he is doing a great job. He is an inspiration to me because he speaks the truth. Thank you for all your wisdom. I would love to talk to you on the radio. He's an older gentleman that listens and enjoys the program. You know, one of the things I'm afraid of, guys, is that because as I age out in this situation, that the people that listen to me that have the same values and concerns, you know, are my own age. So what I've done is I've decided, you know, this last expo, we brought three kids up, all 18, 19, and 20 years of age that already bought apartment complexes. And this summer, we're going to have another expo coming up in May. We're going to have a kids program by then, where we can start teaching kids to think outside of the box at an earlier age so that by the time they are 18 years of age, they can go out there and make a living as an entrepreneur as opposed to make a living working for the man type thing. So it's important to understand that the principles we use, you could retire at any age. You could retire at 25 years of age if you want. You know, 2.5 years after I started, I retired. I have people who have done it in 2 years. I call the average 5. Let's say 5 years. You start at 20, and by the time you're 25, you're retired. And I mean, for life, that's what you don't get. Now, saying, well, I'm 51, I'm coming into this, is it too late? No, it's not too late. What's the alternative? There's the conversation we've been having today. What is the alternative? Now, I'll give you an idea. I got a call yesterday when I was in the grocery store, actually picking up my pharmacy, and it was one of my cousins telling me that his brother had just died. Now, a cousin is your same age, right? And he died. And I ask him because my uncle, my great uncle, his father, had owned three or four different farms. I mean, they were pretty wealthy. And one of the brothers owned a crop dusting business, and one of the brothers was a truck driver and different things. I think he was a truck driver, but they're now in their, you know, early 70s. I think he said he was 70. That's just a couple years, you know, away from me. And he had nothing. He was completely broke. And I got the sense that he was calling me because he was completely broke. That's a sad situation to be in, guys. You need to be doing something to produce income. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 and save 60%. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're going through the mailbag, and many of the conversations we're having here are having to do with age. And I just made a statement here earlier in the last segment I want you to hear again. I have kids in the 18, 19, 20 year of age age group, I think that's the way to say it, is that they already own apartment complexes. They did it on their own. It's their apartment complex. Of course, they're syndicators. They didn't raise all the capital. They didn't put up all the money. They raised the capital from other investors who were very happy to get in with them because they're young, energetic, and ready to attack. And they've got, you know, us behind them teaching them how to do it and mentoring them the whole way. So these kids are that successful at an early age, but there's still the rest of you out there that have waited. And just like I said, my cousin just died at 70 years of age. And what is the alternative? Well, the alternative is like the 66-year-old ladies. What if you're only going to live four more years? Well, you at least better be able to survive for those four more years. I mean, there is no alternative, right, other than death and or running out of money and starving to death. So you've got to do something. And if you don't do it when you're young, you're going to have to do it when you're old. So you need to get involved and start producing income. Your problem is not taxes. Your problem is not having enough money. Your problem is no income. And either you produce income by going back to work or you produce income by buying investments that produce income, one of the two. Now, this next gentleman is a member, and he sent me this email just to sort of give me an aha moment. Hey, guess what? Listen to this. And he said he was speaking to his financial planner, and he said, it's sad that so many financial planners and 401k plans don't understand the benefits of real estate. These lines from the email are so typical, and I hope these new members can get past these problems. And he's talking about this, what his financial planner sent to him after he started taking his money out of his accounts. He goes on and says, in my first 5 years as an LU member, I had plenty of non-retirement funds and debt equity to invest. In other words, he had money that he had saved that wasn't in his retirement accounts, had debt equity in his house. So he had money to start with to invest. He said, I got into a few dozen multifamily past deals and a few single families. Now that I've passed 59 and a half, I have been liquidating retirement account funds when I find a good deal. So what is the 59 and a half? What happens is up until age 59 and a half, unless you have one of the trick ways of getting your money out of your 401k, you have to pay a 10% penalty to take the money out. Now, you think about how screwed that is in the government. They're telling you to put your money in this account, right? You put it in there. Now you can't get it out without getting double taxed That's the government's benefit. That's not to your benefit whatsoever. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? So why do you do it in the first place? I mean, I've got an hour and a half lecture I could give you on why it's the dumbest thing in the world to do. But you've done it because you've been convinced, you've been brainwashed to believe the 401k is the end-all, be-all of retirement accounts, where it's really designed to not even let you start having your money until you're 59 and a half years or older. So at 59 and a half, people just, they're running away from it. Now, we have ways to get it out other than that. There are early withdrawal techniques that can be used to get money out of a 401k without paying the penalty. I'm not going to go into them today. I'm not a CPA. And I'll get somebody to come on and discuss all those because they're there. We use them all the time. But the bottom line is that at 59 and a half, this guy's saying, I'm getting my money out of there, man, because I'm doing so much better with my real estate investing than I am with my 401k. But here's the point. When he started pulling the money out, his financial planner said, whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing? Now, why would your financial planner say that or your 401k administrator say that? Because they get paid on how much money they have under contract, right? It's called their book of business, and they get paid on that. And so what they're really saying to you is, you're not making any money with your money, but I'm making money with your money. And what you're saying is, I want my money back so I can make money with my money. And they're saying, but no, don't do that. And here's what his financial planner wrote back to him. It was a female, by the way. She said, if this is an effort to create more income from your wealth to provide you additional spending dollars, then there are potentially other more efficient methods of investing for income. Now, my question is, if there really is, why aren't you telling them to him before he asks you about going to real estate, right? In other words, if there really is a better way to do it, why aren't you doing it for him? Goes on and says, but if this is an effort to preserve wealth in a non-market correlated investment. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Non-market correlated. These people believe everything in the world begins with and ends with the stock market. And that's the market, a non-market correlated outcome investment. Then again, there are potentially more efficient investments than real estate. Now that's this lady convincing him not to take his money out and go into real estate, right? He goes on though and says, interesting, I got to figure out where this comes back in. When I started doing this, my financial planner was not thrilled. But here's a happy ending. She called me up several months ago and said she wanted to diversify into real estate. This was after I told her multiple times about all the 100% plus multifamily returns, blowing the stock market away in annualized returns and all the tax advantages. I spent 45 minutes on the phone explaining the LU model, and she said she was planning on taking the workshop. Her only concern is that a financial planner for a major fund management company. She was not sure if it was breaking policy to invest in syndications. So in other words, what she's saying is her company is trying to sell you a bill of goods. And if she didn't conform and buy the same bill of goods, it would be disingenuous and she would be kicked out of her job. She couldn't go do real estate because the company wouldn't let her, right? Now, I can't imagine it. Would it be, but who knows what these funds require from their employees? I need to follow up with her to see if she has taken the workshop. Even better, joined up. I've had the hardest time convincing bankers and financial planners to invest in real estate, but she may be one of the many converts. The bottom line is, she's not the only convert. I've seen so many people convert over that were financial planners because they understand what they're not providing for their clients. And what they're not providing is income. What they're not providing is captured equity. What they're not providing is appreciation, although stocks may appreciate in value, so they're just not getting the same amount. The tax advantages are ungodly, not even comparable, right? It just so many different things you don't get with a portfolio that you get with real estate. And once the people understand it, these guys do convert. They won't tell anybody. They don't want anybody to know they're doing it, right? So where are you at? All right, moving on. Got another email here sent to me from a member. It says, here's a good story. A good friend of mine in the Bay Area that was in our wedding called me up recently and said he and his wife, who they met at the wedding, were coming down to San Diego to buy me and my wife a very nice dinner on the Pacific Ocean. I shared the LU model with him several years ago, and he signed up immediately. He got into several deals with me, but he was buying me dinner because of his 400% return in a, I can't say the name of the investor, deal that he got into. And it's the name of the investor, but I don't really want to say it on the radio because I did not ask it and I don't want to solicit for this guy. By the very nature that that's against the law, okay, in his deal, and 116% return on another deal. So he got into one deal, it was 400% return, and another deal was 116% return from two different investors that were the syndicators slash lead investors in the deals. He was blown away at his success in just a few deals. The financial success contributed to him scaling down to now he's being part-time professor instead of a full-time professor and spending more time traveling with his wife. Well, there it is. That's really what it comes down to, isn't it? It's not the money, it's the lifestyle. What do you have the time to do? What can you afford to do? I mean, like I was talking about in the last segment, can you afford to give all your family members a gift that you would like to give them? Or is that too painful? Is that too costly? Or do you just rationalize that, okay, it's okay if I give them, you know, small trinket things just to show that I care? I've never been a trinket gift kind of guy. It always seems kind of like if somebody gives me a trinket gift, you're supposed to just say, you know, smile and go, thank you. But to me, I go, why do you even waste your money? I'd rather you not waste your money if you can't give me something I want. That's a personality trait there. So I'm not really trying to breach that or broach that to you. I'm trying to say, wouldn't you like to be able to do what you'd like to be able to do? Traveling, for example. Like my wife wants us to go somewhere. She plans the trip. What you have to understand is we have to kennel three dogs. We have to get somebody to come house sit our house. And all that stuff costs money. So you not only have to pay for the trip, right? To go there, to get there, to fly there, to whatever, the hotel, all the stuff you do once you get there. But you have to pay to take care of the home you already own, the place you're at, and all this stuff. And that makes me think back to when my dad used to teach me, Dell, it's not the cost of buying, it's the cost of maintaining it. Or Janis Joplin's song, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. The more stuff you have in life, the more stuff you have to take care of. So, you know, you can live your life in a life of quiet desperation. You can work until you die, right? And I see so many people that do that. They just keep working and working and working and working. Like the lady earlier said, when she's working 50 hours a week, she's not doing anything else in life. There is no life when you work 50 hours a week. I found, here I am now, I'm almost 70 years of age. My birthday's coming up. And I've got so much stuff to do in my life. I go, how does anybody get anything done? Because I don't work. And I'm still busy as can be. How do people get anything done? Where do they find time for their family? Where do they find time for their fitness? Where do they find time for some reading and intellectual stimulation? Where do they find time for their hobbies? How do they squeeze all that in? I don't know. Because I get up every day and I've got a full day to do whatever I need to do or want to do. And I still feel like, wow, how do I get all this in? And don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing the stuff I do. That's what is enjoyable about it, is I do what I want to do. But how do you get up and go to work into your 50s? I think about it. I'm not physically the man I used to be. And I have people come over. We had a guy come over the other day because we had our alarm system didn't work anymore. Well, what had happened was some squirrels got in the attic and ate the wires. And so it didn't work. So he got up there and he climbed up in the attic and he found squirrels. And so we had to get a company to come out and remove the squirrels and patch the holes, but we also had to have the alarm company get up there and fix it. And I'm thinking to myself, I couldn't crawl around that attic anymore. You know, I could have got the squirrels out myself. I could have trapped the squirrels myself. I'm not climbing up in that attic. It's just, how long could you work? And you see guys get up and go to work every day and go, how do they do it? I see, like, my landscape guy, his dad works for him. I guess he took the company over from his dad, but his dad still works. And he's like in his 60s, late 60s, he's out there pushing lawnmowers and cutting things and mowing. And I'm just, how do you do it in the sun all day long? And I just ask you guys, if you're there and you're living this life of quiet desperation, how much longer can you put up with it? How much longer do you have the energy to do it? And some of you go, well, what's the alternative? There is no alternative. I got to do it. Now, we'll flip all the way over to the other side here and go, but if you're 20, 30, or 40 years of age, you've got all the energy in the world still. You need to be fixing the problem right now. not waiting till you're 60 or 70 years old to fix the problem. And to do that, you've got to get out and take some action. You need to get in here, get signed up, and get educated. Even if you elect to do nothing after you figure out what it is we do, that's okay. It costs you very little to get signed up and find out. But if you don't, I may be getting an email from you at 68 years of age or 66 years of age or 51 years of age saying, what do I do? I'm still pushing the rock up the hill. I'm still running the little maze for the little rat wheel, you know. I'm going to a cubicle every day that's like going to prison every day. I sit in my cubicle like I'm sitting in a prison cell. How do you put up with that? 50, 60 years of age. I think you need to do something about it in your 20s and 30s and 40s. Now, if you're 50 and 60, you better get in here too. All right, guys, enough of all that negativity. Let's remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Look forward to seeing you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.